This is Success Journal Podcast number 11. I'm Chris Whitting, and coming up on this episode, you may be working harder and longer, but are you working better? We'll share some interesting research. And a school teacher tries selling toys and turns playtime into paytime. Then, what's it like to run a website with 20 billion page views? We talk to Jim Buckmaster, CEO of Craigslist.
Tens of millions of ads, some of them are going to be quite unusual. A guy was trying to put together a nude Bible study group.
And if you're in a job you don't like, consultant Tim Irwin has a way to make your life better.
There are a lot of people who are spending a lot of time very unhappy. Work is almost a penalty box between weekends. People are just paid to do a job. They just work for a paycheck. Very often, if we feel like we're helping someone else, we're serving another person, that's what ultimately adds a sense of meaning.
Plus, an inventor's hot product is now on everyone's radar. Success Journal starts right now.
The Success Journal Podcast, inspiring success stories, informative advice from leading experts, helpful, practical tips to improve your life, enhance your career, and keep you happy and healthy. The Success Journal Podcast with Chris Whitting.
Hey, welcome to the podcast. I went to a family reunion recently in upstate New York. Now, I'm in San Diego, so that meant flying coast to coast, but it was well worth it. We had a great time. You know, it's funny when people hear I went to a family reunion, I notice three different reactions from people. The first is, oh, I wish my family had reunions. I never get to see my family anymore. The second reaction is kind of in the middle, with something like this. A family reunion. Is that a good thing or a bad thing? And then there's the third reaction you get, which is, I wouldn't visit my family if you put a gun to my head. Well, luckily, we all get along great at our family reunion, probably because we keep topics like politics to ourselves. We celebrate good things that have happened to our family in the past year. And that's kind of like this podcast. You know, we're all about success and positive results here. And that includes taking a break once in a while for family, relaxation, and fun. Working longer doesn't mean you work better. An interesting research study showed that people can only work about 8.5 hours before their work starts to suffer. And after that, you start working slower and sloppier. You make more mistakes, and your creativity goes out the window. And that's according to Rob Kriegel, author of How to Succeed in Business Without Working So Damn Hard. Well, we're standing by for Jim Buckmaster, CEO of Craigslist, and a fascinating conversation with him. But first, how about a 60-second Success Journal story about a school teacher who went into the toy business? Lucille King was frustrated. The kindergarten teacher couldn't find toys that were rugged or well-designed. She recalled the simpler, durable toys of her childhood. So, she decided to build some for her kindergarten class. Well, the kids love them, and try as they might, they just couldn't break those toys. Lucille decided to market her creations nationwide, and soon a lumber mill was running full-time just to keep up with demand for her wooden toys. If you have kids, Lucille's creations may be in their toy box, or maybe you loved those toys when you were growing up. The brand name? Play School, now part of giant Hasbro. Play School helped Lucille go from kindergarten to business school and graduate with a real fortune. You know, in the case of our business or in any business, the choice you make for website hosting can be a critical decision. And the company we use here at Success Journal is Pear Networks. They host hundreds of thousands of websites, and we recommend them because we think they set the standard for excellence. They've got a terrific support staff that's second to none. They respond fast, and they always give us straight answers, and that's important. They have top-of-the-line technology, and for that reason, Pear Networks can offer total reliability for your website with a money-back guarantee. So whether you're a professional web designer, a busy web marketer, or you're just starting out and putting a site online, Pear Networks has a plan that's right for you. Log on and learn more at pear.com. That's PAIR.com. Pair Networks. Which website has 20 billion page views a month and serves 49 million monthly users in the U.S. and does all that with a staff of only 50 people? Well, that remarkable site would be Craigslist. What's it like to run the company? To find out, we welcome Jim Buckmaster, CEO of Craigslist. Jim, everyone in business seems to talk about putting the customer first. Would you say Craigslist is among the best at doing that?
I don't know about that, but that's certainly what we spend all of our time trying to do, which is listening to what folks are asking for from us and trying to do just that and trying to ignore just about every other consideration. And just to give an example, in the internet context, which would translate into an enormous amount of money should we choose to run banner ads or text ads, etc., the fact that we don't consider doing those things because users aren't asking us to do those things, I think puts us in a category of one on the internet in terms of not being concerned with revenue.
It's been said that by not trying to do anything special, Craigslist became a huge success. The site's design is pretty basic, and it's a place where people can post free ads for just about anything under the sun or respond to those ads. Would you agree with people who say your company isn't trying hard?
Well, we try hard what we're trying to do, which is provide as useful a service to people as possible. What we don't try hard at is accomplishing things like market share or revenue maximization. Those things we don't pay attention to at all, but we do work hard to provide as useful a service as possible.
Craigslist has apparently, in some ways, decimated the newspaper industry, seriously cutting into the classified ad revenues. Some media pundits would say that you're to blame for the downfall of print media. What's your take on that?
In our view, decimation is an overstatement in that classified revenues are stable but no longer growing at the clip that they used to. Of course, Wall Street is not content with stable revenues. They want to see ever-growing revenues, and hence the pressure from Wall Street on publicly traded newspaper chains to cut expenses in any way they can to try to boost profitability, since you're not allowed to just kind of stand still at a given level of revenue and profits.
I see. Now, are there any concerns that some major internet companies are starting to invade your turf and get into the same business you're in?
We don't really see ourselves as having turf. We see ourselves as trying to provide a public service. Because that's our mindset, we don't really view other companies as competitors. The reality is we don't pay much attention to what other companies are doing. That's one of the benefits of staying small. We don't have people who we could have sitting in meeting rooms trying to figure out how to beat other companies. We just have enough people to move our service forward and the directions that our users are asking for.
There have been stories, Jim, in the press about criminal acts that are tied to some of the ads on Craigslist, such as prostitution. We noticed when we called your company, your phone menu mentions if you're calling from law enforcement, hit this extension. Do you think this is really a big problem, or is it just a small thing given the size of your traffic on your website?
Well, we don't like to see our site misused for illegal purposes at all, but it's a relatively small issue if taken as a percentage of postings. The number of those that are connected with illegal activity are vanishingly small. Nevertheless, any percentage is a substantial number, and so we do get our share of subpoenas and warrants in connection with postings where users are doing things that we wish they wouldn't, and we do definitely value the efforts of law enforcement to try to deal with that. Obviously, behind the scenes, we're doing everything that we can to keep that stuff off the site, and including providing a flagging system that allows users, if they see an inappropriate ad, to flag it for removal. If enough users agree, the ad comes down automatically.
There's not even a personnel situation involved in that. That's done by the system, then.
Well, tens of millions of users have a much better chance of spotting and identifying an inappropriate ad sooner rather than later, and they have a lot more information about a given ad, since an inappropriate ad can look fine to the eye. The inappropriate activity comes to light only when a user contacts the person behind the ad. that puts users in the driver's seat as far as determining which ads are appropriate and which aren't. And fairly early on, we realized that and did what we could to put users literally in control of removing inappropriate ads.
We're talking with Jim Buckmaster, the CEO of Craigslist, which is at craigslist.org. And if you could just share with our audience how your business model does work. How do you make money doing what you do?
Sure. We do charge for job postings, and then the one other thing that we charge a small fee for is brokered apartment rental listings in the city of New York. So charging small fees in those few areas is enough to support all the rest and allows us to offer well over 99% of the listings free of charge.
That's true.
And also not to present users with any other kind of revenue-related nuisances that you see on so many sites.
What's the strangest or most memorable ad you've ever seen on Craigslist?
Well, there are a lot of highly unusual ads on the site. Again, the law of large numbers, when you have tens of millions of ads, some of them are going to be quite unusual. An odd one or a funny one that stuck out to my mind was a guy was trying to put together a nude Bible study group. That one caught my imagination.
But if you go
to our best of section, you'll see all kinds of entertaining ads in there.
Could you share with us what the typical user of your site is like demographically? Is it primarily male or female or old, young? Do you have any kind of a target there?
Well, of course, we don't collect any kind of personal information about users, but we kind of know anecdotally that a lot of our users are in their 20s, 30s, and 40s. The typical user who uses us the most is someone whose life is in transition and has need of multiple parts of our site. Of course, our site offers categories for finding jobs, for finding places to live, for buying and selling things, for finding new friends and potential romantic partners, such that the prototypical power user, if you will, might be someone who's moving to a new city and needs a job and a place to live and new friends and new furnishings and potentially a conveyance, a car or a bicycle or what have you. Namely, is trying to assemble a new life in a new city. That's a person who's going to find Craigslist extremely useful. Of course, if you're more established in your life, you'll still have occasion to use it, but maybe not as intensively as the newcomer.
Jim, could you tell us the story briefly of how Craigslist began?
Sure. Craigslist started in 1995 by a guy named Craig Newmark as an email list of event listings in San Francisco. So that was the origin. So again, originally only an email form, recipients of that list of events started sending in their own items to Craig to add to the list, and pretty soon there were things other than events like apartment listings and job openings, etc. The content branched out fairly early on. A year later, it was converted into a simple website, and really it's just been organic growth over the years of our existence as more users came on board with suggestions for new categories, and we branched out beyond the San Francisco Bay Area in the year 2000. Steadily added more cities as those have been requested by users.
We're speaking with Jim Buckmaster, the CEO of Craigslist. Maybe a little-known fact to our listeners is you were the guy who designed the Craigslist homepage, is that right?
Yeah, doing design and content for top-level pages on the site, including the homepage. I came into the company as a programmer at the start of 2000, and in the first year I was here, I worked on projects such as creating our first search engine, writing the code for our discussion forums, converting the site from a system whereby staff had to do everything for users with respect to their posting. Staff had to post it, staff had to edit it, staff had to delete it when the time came, to the self-service model that we have today, building the code to let Craigslist be set up for different localities, a whole host of projects, and I still try to stay as involved as I can, although management duties take up obviously much of my time.
Jim, as we wrap this up, I'm just wondering if you have any last thoughts on Craigslist to share with our audience.
For the future of Craigslist, we know that there will be lots more of the same, namely, there will be more users, there will be more cities added, there will be more categories, more features, etc. Some of those other languages we're working on continue to add additional languages going forward.
Jim Buckmaster, CEO of Craigslist, the Craigslist online community, which is at craigslist.org. If you're one of the few who hasn't been there, check it out. Jim, thanks so much for joining us today.
Oh, thanks for having me.
Still to come, statistics show 85% of Americans are unhappy at work. If that includes you, we have a plan to make your life better. And an inventor creates a hot product that's now on everyone's radar. There's a free guide we want to tell you about. It's a very quick download. It contains a list of top tools to make you more efficient, secure, and profitable. Best of all, this ultimate toolbox guide is available absolutely free. How do you get it? Simply visit freebusinesstoolbox.com and grab your copy while they last. This guide has some of the very same online tools that we use every day at Success Journal, and we recommend them. BrightBiz is literally giving away this business toolbox completely free as a means of putting their best foot forward. But this is a limited time offer. So grab your free guide today and take your business and your income to the next level. Just visit freebusinesstoolbox.com. Get your free guide to 36 business power tools. That address again is freebusinesstoolbox.com. Well, if you're among the majority of people today who say they're dissatisfied with their job, or maybe you're in your 20s and you're trying to find that job that you enjoy, our next guest has some answers. He's Tim Irwin, PhD, author of Run with the Bulls Without Getting Trampled.
Chris, great to talk to you.
Tim, I understand you actually have run with the bulls. Tell us about that.
A couple of years ago, my younger son was studying in Spain, and when he announced that he was going to run with the bulls in Pamplona, my wife was quite concerned, and so I got assigned to go run with him. And it was a very exciting experience. At the end, though, I realized this is a great metaphor for the American workplace, because people feel like they are running with the bulls. If you have a job, you are, and those bulls are running around us. The bad managers, the coworkers that are out to get us, the bad IT systems, all those things that make our jobs difficult are around us. And if we don't run wisely and skillfully, we are going to get trampled or gored or worse.
Let's talk about those who are just getting out of college, or perhaps they've been out of college for a few years. Maybe they've seen the older generation burn themselves out in the corporate world, and they want to avoid that fate. What advice do you have?
Chris, as a corporate psychologist, I've interviewed over 10,000 executives over the last 20 years or so. Many of those went on to run very large companies. Some of those people cataclysmically derailed. And one of the key things I found was that the people who thrive at work have thoughtful commitment about what they're doing. They are committed passionately to what they're doing, and they find meaning in their work. And I think that's one of the things that these Gen Yers are really looking for. They're saying, hey, I want to do something that has meaning.
The statistic is really shocking here that 85% of Americans hate their jobs. What can you say about that?
It is astonishing. As I mentioned before, when you think about how much time we spend at work, it's really a dismal statistic. There are a lot of people who are spending a lot of time very unhappy. And I think the reason that people are unhappy is very often they're viewing work like mercenaries. Work is almost a penalty box between weekends, and people are mercenaries. They're just paid to do a job. They don't have any emotional investment in what they're doing. They just work for a paycheck. And I think that's fundamentally what separates the people who thrive, is they find meaning. They're committed. They're passionate about what they're doing.
Obviously, being passionate about your job sounds like a good thing. It's something that I think everybody would like. How do you get that? How do you find that passion if you're not feeling it now?
One of the things that I find that often contributes to how people feel about their work is the line of sight to the customer. I'm going to be speaking in a few hours to a large group of leaders in one of the most well-known companies in America. And one of the things I'm going to tell them is that they have a primary obligation to help people in their organization find meaning in the workplace. And one of the key ways is having clear line of sight to the customer. Very often, if we feel like we're helping someone else, we're serving another person, that's what ultimately adds a sense of meaning. And yet people are often in these boring jobs that have no obvious relevance to anything that's helping another person. And so I encourage people when they're looking for jobs is find something in which you are excited about what you're doing for someone else.
In your book, you have a lot of great stories. You tell a true story, and it was a great metaphor for the way people, I guess, just kind of go out there and live their lives. They don't really make the plans.
We were visiting some dear friends in one of the islands down in the Caribbean, and just at the last minute said, hey, let's go get a boat so the kids can play out in this bay that was in front of the house. And we went over to a nearby marina. We had no idea where we were. We really didn't know where we were going, and we really didn't know how we were going to get there. But we were excited. And so we took two boats out in what eventually we learned was the Atlantic Ocean, and we got into a lot of trouble in these boats. The engine stalled, we were being swept up onto a reef, and it was a terrible circumstance. And I use that as a metaphor to talk about how many people approach their jobs. They just kind of show up. They're not thoughtful. They don't have total commitment to what they're doing, and as a result, they're in trouble.
If somebody is listening right now who is maybe just getting into the job field and they're hearing all this, it's making them a little nervous, what advice would you have for them to make a plan to figure out how to best succeed?
One of the things that I think is critically important, Chris, is to have a strategic mindset. In other words, treat this like a chess game. We're always thinking two or three moves ahead. Another thing I strongly encourage younger workers to do is to find a mentor. Find someone older in the organization who's been there a while, who knows the ropes. I guarantee you they'll be flattered that you asked. Take them to breakfast and say, hey, let me tell you about what I'm doing. What advice do you have for me? A mentor can be a tremendous help.
Now, you talk about people having bad relationship skills and that this gets them into trouble more than any other aspect of their talent in a job. Explain that.
You know, a lot of people who get fired in their jobs are not fired because of a lack of technical skills. They wouldn't have been hired in the first place if they didn't have fundamentally what the job required. But I know a lot of people who've been fired because they couldn't get along with other people. The workplace has become so relational. We have to work on teams. We have to collaborate with others. We have to influence people over whom we have no formal authority. We have to problem solve. We have to resolve conflict. This is one of the things that I think is so important to your listeners who are parents, that they have an obligation to help their kids develop their relationship skills. This is something that can be practiced in the home, practicing good conflict management. Every family has disagreements. And these are the kinds of opportunities parents have to model those good skills. So, absolutely, I find far more people get fired because they can't manage their relationships skillfully with others than any kind of technical problems.
To wrap up on a positive note, tell us why we should feel good about our experiences at work and on the job.
Well, I think it's an exciting opportunity for young people who are entering the workplace. This is one of the great adventures of life. We are running with the bulls, and clearly there's some danger, but it's also incredibly exciting. This is one of the great races of life, and I think that people who thrive in the workplace find fulfillment in what they're doing. They also exhibit this character, and then they really become competent.
Tim Irwin, PhD, author of Run with the Bulls Without Getting Trampled.
Chris, thanks for having me. It's great to be with you.
We've got another 60-second Success Journal story coming right up, but first, how would you like to donate 20 meals to feedingamerica.org? Well, you can do that absolutely free. Just think of all the good karma and warm feelings that that's going to give you. All you have to do is review our Success Journal podcast on iTunes. That's right, for every review that gets posted, we will donate 20 meals to Feeding America. Imagine if you had to cook all those meals, how long that would take you. But it only takes a couple of minutes to post a review for us, and we've made it super easy. Just go to successjournalreview.com, and that will take you right to our iTunes page. Easy to remember, successjournalreview.com. Well, how about creating a product that's on everyone's radar? Percy Spencer didn't set out to change America's kitchens. His job was research, not food preparation. Lucky for us, Percy wasn't a fan of health food. He was a chocoholic. He'd stashed a chocolate bar in his shirt pocket while testing some radar gear in a laboratory. He turned on the equipment and then noticed something very strange. The chocolate in his pocket melted into goo. It made a terrible mess, but it gave him an idea. If radio waves could melt chocolate, they'd probably cook food, too. Sure enough, it wasn't long before his company started making microwave ovens. The name of that first microwave, made by Raytheon? Percy Spencer named it the Radar Range. And speaking of range, we're going to head on home to the range at the end of our podcast here. We appreciate you listening. Please spread the word if you enjoyed it. Until next time, I'm Chris Whitting, wishing you a highly successful day.